Here he joins us now, Dallas Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick here with us on ESPN Game Now. How are you, man?
What's up, bro? How you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing, man? Appreciate you coming on. We were just talking about you being the grizzly old veteran of the secondary now that everybody else is gone.
Oh, man, I've always been the grizzly old veteran, but just the last standing grizzly old veteran.
Yeah, you're the last man standing. Certainly, yeah. You've been here since 08, and you know Romo's, you know, as well as anybody in the locker room now, you know, probably one of the oldest people in the locker room have been there outside of Witten and LP. I think, you know, how surprised are you about his retirement announcement this week?
I'm not all too surprised. I mean, we all know it's a possibility, you know. We're going through the type of injuries he went through, and, you know, some quarterbacks just aren't backup quarterbacks, you know, and I don't think Tony was a backup quarterback. And, you know, I don't know on, like, how he felt about going to a team that wasn't a ready-to-win team, you know, right now. So it was a difficult situation for him, and he found a smooth transition, so he got to walk away on his terms, and, you know, he's opening a new door, walking through a new door.
From your conversation with him last year, did you see that he still wanted to play? Or was that all, you know, up in the air, during the season?
Because me and Tony spent a few weeks together when I was rehabbing myself, and everything indicated, you know, that he wanted to play. And, you know, things shook out how they shook out. Dak caught fire, and, you know, Tony never played again. But then after the last game, week 17, when he went in, and I think he played, what, a series or two?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just looked so good. But, you know, I don't know how he felt. And obviously he made that decision to walk away and to go over to CBS and start a new journey.
What was your impression of him as a quarterback, and what did he mean to the Cowboys during all those years? And certainly, you know.
Man, he was smart. He was the face of the franchise. I mean, he can make every throw. I mean, but just how he changed plays at the line of scrimmage and how he got into the right plays, got out of the right plays, how his escapability when being rushed, you know, his pocket presence, that was very impressive with me. And his passer rate and his efficiency was high. And, I mean, I thought he was a damn good player for a long time.
Having been around him for so long like you have, how do you think he transitions now into the world of broadcasting and having to critique, in some cases, perhaps even his own former teammates?
I mean, just be honest. You know, I think Tony was never a guy that held his tongue. He was always honest. He would tell you what he thought. And, I mean, I think it's easy now. You don't got any ramifications for critiquing people. I mean, you know, you kind of say what you want when you're working for CBS.
So your impression, like this, when he was in the locker room as a teammate, he would critique guys and, you know, just give his opinion.
He would critique guys, but he would definitely, you know, give you his opinion. He would, you know, share with you how you could defend this, share with you what he thought was coming, what he thought the quarterback was thinking, what he thought the defense was thinking, what he thought the offense was designed to do. And, I mean, I think that's good for TV. You know, as a fan, you want to know what's going on. You want to know more in depth of, like, why they did this or what they're thinking. And it just gives you – it makes you feel more in the game as a fan.
And that's the beautiful thing about him, because it wasn't just about offense. He understood defense and what they were trying to do, and he would just talk – he would talk to defenders about what the offense was trying to do. And that's why, you know, CBS tapped, and they talked about how he was in production meetings, how he knew the game. And certainly you see that this guy was a cerebral quarterback that knows both offense and defense.
Uh-huh. I can't go against anything you just said. I'm going to miss him, man. I'm going to miss the guy. It was a pleasure, you know, just getting to watch him, just coming in the league. And I remember coming to the league like, man, I'm on a team with Tony Romo. Then going and seeing him orchestrate these game-winning drives. I mean, when, you know, I remember it was a few years ago when we had the ball. And I was so many times we had the ball and time to go win a game against the New York Giants. And Tony marches down the field and got us a touchdown. I got us a field goal.
Is it crazy to you how the different opinions of Tony Romo? Because a lot of people on the outside, certainly critics on the outside, look at him as a guy who's not clutch and who doesn't win the big one. But just like you talked about, the people inside count on the guy. They think this guy can win it.
You gotta take the good with the bad, man. There's going to be people out there that think that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and there's going to be people out there that think you suck, you know, and you know, just being a player, that's just a part of it. You can't really put too much into other people's opinions because they're nothing but opinions.
But the people in the locker room, you guys felt that when Tony was on the field, you had a chance to win.
I did. I mean, I thought that he was a great player for the Dallas Cowboys for a long time. I thought he was, you know, he was the face of the franchise for a very long time.
What are some of the biggest differences between what you guys saw with Dak last year as a rookie versus what you got with Tony on the field?
I mean, I don't understand your question. Their styles are different. We played differently last year. We were a run-heavy team. You know, I think that towards the beginning of the season, you know, as your colleagues and your peers were saying, they're running. They're trying not to put the game in Dak's hands. They're trying not to make him make mistakes. And, I mean, I think he was wide open when we had Tony. You could do anything. I mean, Dak's going to need time, but he's going to be fine. But he needs experience. There's no teacher for experience.
Well, how do you feel about this team going forward? You see what you guys have done in free agency. Certainly, the ball is in Dak's hands now, and you got Zeke and everybody coming back on offense, and you saw the departures on defense. What's your expectation? How do you feel about the team
going forward? We got a great offense, and I feel like, you know, we're going to add some pieces to the defense, and you know, we're going to go out and win games and try to make this thing work. I haven't really put much thought into what the season is going to be. You know, I spent this offseason a little bit different than I spent an offseason in a long time. And I told myself when I left, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to make sure I'm in the best possible shape to go out and be a successful player as myself. You know, I've got my own things that I'm trying to accomplish right now. And I think that if I can accomplish those things, I will help this team and help this defense. And, you know, I didn't really pay attention to what's going on. You know, of course I've seen, you know, my brothers in the secondary leave, and of course I've seen some of the defensive linemen leave, but I haven't really put much thought into it. It's just been about getting Orlando back to what Orlando is accustomed to.
And that's what they say. I mean, one year removed from ACL and a knee injury, you're at your best, and certainly it's tough, and you try to get back, but you feel you'll be much better this year, one year removed from that surgery and injury than you were last year.
I mean, no doubt. I went from not practicing to trying to play, and, you know, it is what it is. You know, people are going to say what they're going to say. Oh, this, that, hurt, whatever. You know, that does not bother me at all. It actually pushes me. It fuels me. And my body feels great, and I feel great. And I'm 30 years old, but what in actuality does that really mean? Where is it written that once you turn 30, you automatically fall off the cliff?
What were your impressions of Anthony Brown last year, your time around him? Kind of a guy like you, you know, a later round draft pick that got a lot of opportunity as a rookie and really kind of performed for the Cowboys last year.
I mean, he did good. And, you know, I just wish when I was a rookie, I would have got that much praise because I did not get that. I remember when I was younger, it was, this guy can only do this. He's so limited. He can only do this. But I'm happy for him, you know, and as times change, you know. It's just, I guess if they like you, they anoint you, and if they hate you, they find a reason to bring you down. But I'm so happy for him, though. I talked to him a lot. I've talked to him through the offseason, and I'm sure he's working hard, and he's going to improve.
This team has struggled with putting back-to-back good seasons together ever since you've been here. It actually started before you got here from 07. They took a step back in 08. You guys had a great season in 09. Took a step back in 10, and in 14, you took a step back in 15. What is it going to take for you guys to put two solid back-to-back seasons together, contending seasons together?
You're going to have to put two solid back-to-back teams together, you know, and teams have great seasons, not just great offenses or great defenses.
Do you view yourself as the leader of the secondary now with some of the departures and some of the youth and perhaps some even young rookies that they may draft?
What I think is really funny about you guys thinking about this leader of the secondary, I've been the oldest one in the room for the last 5 years. Like, what's the difference now?
There's no difference.
I guess I would ask you that question. Like, what's the difference? I've been the oldest one in the room for the last 5 years.
And there's no difference. But now this room is going to get decidedly younger. And do you feel more?
No doubt. But yeah. I mean, 5 years ago when Morris came and Brandon came, I was still the oldest one in the room. Church wasn't even a full-time starter yet.
You had Sensabaugh back there and some other different guys, but I mean, but with a younger core, even younger than it was then, because at least you know Church had some years, and this team will be young, not just at cornerback, but at safety in different positions back there.
I felt like I was already the leader. I mean, I felt like I was already the kind of the person that they looked to when there was questions and when there was things like that. And I mean, I just find it funny that everyone is like, oh, now that they're gone, are you the leader? Like, it's just like I'm the leader by default. So no, I don't.
No, it's not a default thing. It's just that without a group of veterans, it's just even more pressure that you're going to be the one they point to even more.
There's no pressure whatsoever. There's no pressure on me whatsoever. I'm just going to go out and do what I've done since I was 8 years old.
Well, man, we appreciate you coming on and enjoy your off season. I know your little girls they're still doing gymnastics.
They are.
I hope everything is going well. What are you coming back? You will be back here for the start off season program April 17th?
I will.
Well, we'll be looking forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thanks, Chris.